Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Feel Good Life. I'm Jennifer James, your host. I'm excited to be with you today. I want to kind of go through an event that I had an opportunity to speak at several weeks ago. It was the Northeast Rice Research and Extension Center Field Day. Here in Arkansas, we have two large rice research and extension centers, and the one in Jonesboro is closer to me, so I made sure that I made it over there for that event. Lots of farmers and ag-related rice industry folks are there. It's always a good time to get to see everybody, but I did have the opportunity to speak, and I wanted to share with you today a little bit about that speech and my thoughts, because I think they're important to get out there even further. So the title of it was called Rooted in Resilience: Navigating the Future of Rice Farming. And I think right now we could all use as many tips as possible about how we're going to navigate moving forward in our farms and our family farms here in eastern Arkansas and across the country. I think what I have to say is relevant for everyone. And although some of these facts and figures may be more localized to my county and my communities in eastern Arkansas, I think they will mirror a lot of what is happening across our country. So as many of you know, I left rural Arkansas, headed to the University of Arkansas, not anticipating coming back. In fact, I couldn't get out of Jackson County, Arkansas quick enough. I thought I wanted to be under the bright lights of the city, a lawyer, maybe in politics, who knows, but anywhere but here was kind of my philosophy when I left Jackson County, anywhere but here in rural Arkansas. But as many of you know, I got to Fayetteville, and my heartstrings just pulled me back home to the Delta. There is something about when you grow up here and the flatlands here. Maybe not as beautiful as the Ozark Mountains in northwest Arkansas, where the campus of the University of Arkansas sits, which is gorgeous, but it's just a different beauty. And I realized that the bright lights of the city were probably just the bright lights of the stars on a dark night here in the Delta, and that was what was really calling me home. So that got my degree in ag business, and I came home. And I'm sure my story is not unlike, you know, many of you who farm or are in farm families or married into a farm family, that there was a moment when you kind of, it hits you that, yes, farming is what I'm meant to do. That's where my passion is. You know, you may have been a little kid riding around with your dad or your grandpa. I know our son had a little bitty short shovel that he carried around everywhere with his rubber boots, and he was behind his dad and his granddad many a days, walking levees and helping, as they say, you know, helping out on the farm. So, of course, you may have been older. You may not have actually grown up on a farm. You may have worked on a farm as a teenager and had that opportunity from a neighbor who gave it to you, and you caught the farming bug that way. You know, you may have memories of your mom or your grandma or maybe the wife of the farmer you're working for bringing you a bologna sandwich for lunch out on the farm. And, you know, there's just nothing about a good bologna sandwich, that white bread behind the back of your front teeth and the mayonnaise or mustard, whichever you like, on a hot summer day. So that brings back good memories of my childhood too. But from the moment that you realize that, you know, that is what you wanted to do, you know, that nostalgia comes back throughout life. Every spring when they start turning the soil and you can smell the way the soil smells, it brings back the joy of being on the farm. Once the rice gets up tall enough and after a little fertilizer is on there and it is perfectly dark green, it's waving in the wind, there's not one head of barnyard grass or red rice sticking up yet. I'll say yet. Of course, we don't have any on our farm, but there's just nothing like that look and appearance. Or, you know, maybe in the fall when that chug, chug, chug of the auger on your combine or your grain cart is sending that golden grain into your truck, that you just think, yep, I'm here because I'm made to be here. And so I know that for many of us, those memories are really strong and they're deep and they're very meaningful for us now. We want to be sure and pass them on to our family, and they return on those good days and those bright sunny days. And we're glad that they do, because on days like days that we've had this summer here in Arkansas, as I'm recording this in August of 2025, you know, there's probably not that many of us who have thought over the last few months or maybe even the last couple of years, boy, I sure do love this. This job, this farming job is just awesome. because it's been tough. It's been tough here in Northeast Arkansas, and it's been tough across our country. And I know the economic and financial situation that we find ourselves in is weighing heavy on all of us. I know there's also not just farmers. You know, I've talked to ag lenders who are close with their customers. It's a very much a relationship business. And the stress of trying to make those numbers work and having to disappoint some people and say, hey, you know, this isn't going to happen with us this year at this lending institution, or, you know, maybe it's an ag retailer, someone that you've worked with closely on your inputs for years, and they're not going to extend you credit there any longer. So even those folks that touch agriculture, of course, the researchers, our extension agents who are so vital and helpful to all of us, they see it, they feel it. The grain buyers, the rice millers, truck drivers, there's just so many people, especially in small rural communities whose economy is based on ag, that they can feel when the agriculture economy is not doing well. So, you know, we've all had struggles. We've had our ups and downs. There's been times when it's rained too much or it's never rained and we've had to work through it. The markets go up, the markets go down. We have equipment failures, we have, you know, just so many different things that go on, but it doesn't ever seem like it's all at once, that everything that's going on is going the wrong way. And that's just kind of how it has seemed here lately with the markets down, the input costs are still, you know, staying so high that there's no profit in what we do, and we just don't see any daylight ahead. So, you know, we worked hard. We're persistent people. Farmers are, I say, the eternal optimists, and thankfully so, because I don't know that you could be in this business if you weren't an optimist and had a lot of resilience. So, as I said, that, you know, farmers and their families are definitely rooted in resilience. And I want to read to you the definition of resilience is the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. So really, you know, generally, it's just being tough. It's a toughness. And just to kind of expand further, I did a little bit of research about mental health. And, you know, that's been so important across the ag community in the last few years is paying attention to our mental health and not letting us get us too far down. So the American Psychological Association defines resilience as the process and outcome of successfully adapting to difficult or challenging life experiences, which we all have, not just farmers, but adapting to those, especially through mental, emotional, and behavioral flexibility, and adjusting to our external and internal demands from that. And one thing that I just really love was that on their website, it says that there's research that demonstrates that you can learn skills and behaviors to increase your resilience. And it says that they can be cultivated and practiced. So I feel like that was written just for us, just for farmers. So I know that we are actually cultivating the heck out of some resilience these days. So I thought that was a very fitting definition. But with everything we're going through, with each tough time, with all the issues that, you know, you and your family are working to build resilience to survive into the future. And how do we continue to navigate this? And it's one day at a time. It's one step at a time. We have to listen to each other. We need to rally around each other. And every day is another chance to be stronger and more resilient, not only in farming, but in our lives. So I truly believe that we're at a crossroads today in American agriculture and with Americans in general, because I believe that I'll use that word if Americans want to continue to have their food grown in America, which I think is very important, what are they willing to pay for that luxury? And it is a luxury to have our food provided by our own citizens in our own country and not all imported. We have much more control over that process if we can keep it in country. So I think we need to ask other Americans, you know, do you want your food grown here? And I think it's an important question for people to start thinking about. But when I think about all these tough times we're going through, and I spoke a little bit about, you know, all the businesses that are affected, do all the businesses in small rural towns in America that are dependent on agriculture really understand that they're relying on agriculture? Does the dress shop, does the small restaurant in your hometown, the pharmacy, the hospital, the schools, I mean, do they realize that agriculture being strong is what is keeping those people here? And one of the reasons I asked this, and I have talked a little bit about this in a prior podcast, but it just really strikes me. I'm just super surprised at this fact, but I'm going to tell you the story that I got an email survey from our local school district, and the email was asking local business owners to complete a survey about what kind of skills that our workforce needed in the future. What they could help students learn and teach and provide for them in high school so that they might be ready to go to work after graduation if they weren't going to pursue any other type of education track. So obviously being in agriculture, we are desperately in need of good workforce and a good skilled workforce. In fact, here in Eastern Arkansas, many, many farmers are utilizing the H-2A visa worker program, which has been literally operation saving in many instances to be able to access other labor, from other countries and bring them in to work on our farms. It's not an easy program to qualify for. There is a tremendous amount of paperwork. There's a tremendous amount of regulation and red tape, and it is a lot of work to do it. It's certainly not less expensive than hiring local labor, and I think that any farmer who is utilizing the H-2A work visa program would agree with me that if they could hire good skilled labor force locally, that they would much, much rather do that because it's better. Those folks are here all the time and they don't have to leave for so many months because that visa program is seasonal. So there's a great need for skilled labor. And if our local high school had realized that and was sending out the survey, I was all for it. So I was super excited to fill it out. And I opened the survey in the email, and it started off with the simple things, you know, who are you? What business do you work for? And the third question was, what industry sector do you represent? And there was a drop-down menu. So I clicked the arrow and dropped down the menu, and I'm searching for my industry sector, and I scroll down the list, and I don't see it, and I scroll back up the list, and to my astonishment, agriculture is not listed in the list of industry sectors. In a county of, you know, I think our population is around 16,000. We have one hospital. We have two small school districts. It's very rural and it's very based in agriculture. And I just was shocked. I was absolutely shocked that survey was released and agriculture wasn't listed. I mean, every road that you drive out of town, you know, if you're saying these are city folks that are sending out this survey, but every road when you leave, any of the towns in my county are lined with fields of rice and cotton and corn and soybeans. And it's certainly an ag community. So it just really hit me just how wide the disconnect is between agriculture, farmers, farming communities, and the people who live in those communities. I'd always thought of it as being, you know, they call it the urban-rural divide, and I'd always thought of it as big cities, you know, New York City, Denver, Chicago, Miami, San Francisco. I mean, you think of very large metropolitan areas. And then you can resign yourself that, okay, folks in Little Rock, you know, probably aren't as aware. Even folks in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is still surrounded by a lot of agriculture, of course, but, you know, there's a university there. So there's a lot of people that are from other cities in the country. And so maybe they're not as connected, but that rural-urban divide is rural communities not understanding agriculture. And it's just really kind of struck me that small towns here in Eastern Arkansas, I mean, you know, like Pocahontas, McCrory, Walnut Ridge, Cherry Valley, Dumas down in South Arkansas, and Tuckerman here in my county, and other small towns in other communities that those people don't understand. And the fact just simply remains that farmers and agriculture, we're getting lost in the shuffle of politics and world economies. You know, it's a global economy we're having to compete in now. We're getting lost in discussions about glyphosate and food dyes and seed oils and field burning. And also, it's shocking to me that 33% of the rice that we eat in this country is imported, and we're having to find markets for what we grow here. So it's shocking that Americans are not actually picking up a bag of rice and making sure that that is American grown rice. Or do they know? Do they care? A lot of people don't even know we grow rice in America. So, you know, one of the reasons why I started my blog several years ago and started this podcast most recently is to get the word out. Yes, we do grow rice in America. There are farmers in America, and there are farm families. Almost every farmer in this country is operating in a farming entity owned by family. I mean, it's just the truth. It's just the way it is. Even though we have to work with economies of scale and cost structures that may look large, we're still just operated by families. So it just was kind of a real shocking, like, hit you in the face survey for me. Another event that I have had the opportunity to participate in is testifying before Congress. And I have recorded a podcast about this as well. It was a great opportunity. Actually, the first time that I testified before the Senate Ag Committee was in relation to the 2018 Farm Bill. Back when it was being written, and I was nervous as all get out. I tell you what, I was intimidated. The lights looked like, I mean, it felt like it was football stadium lights in there in the room to me, because I walked in and it was just like, bam, you know, they were so bright. And I had never done anything like that before. So I was super intimidated, very, very nervous. And so I was just, to be honest with you, I was just glad that I read through my testimony, that I got it finished. I know when I was working on it, I had to stay within so many minutes. I can't remember if it was 4 or 5, but you know, with this Southern accent, it took me a while to narrow that down into the proper time frame that I could get it in and still yet get all the facts and figures that they wanted to be in there and on the record. And when that testimony was over, I was just really glad that it was over right at the time. But reflecting back on that, I realized that I had missed a big opportunity to talk about real farmers and their families just like mine. So in February of this year, in 2025, when I was asked to testify again in front of the Senate Ag Committee, I knew that I had to get my story across. It couldn't only be facts and figures. The economics this time around were much more dire on the farm. Congress had continued to delay getting a farm bill passed. We were in desperate need of anything that committee or that Congress could provide for farms and farm families. But the thing about that was, is there were 9 of us. So there were 8 other farmers testifying that day. And I knew that it would be really hard to stand out. So I worked on my presentation, my testimony, a lot, and worked with some other people and had some advisors and everything. And of course, within that, you know, we shared economic numbers. We shared all about how rice farmers were going to lose money in 2025 and how the input cost had gone up and the sales price was low. I certainly wanted to express my gratitude to the senators of how grateful that farmers were for the ECAP and the disaster payments that we were going to be receiving last spring that had been passed in late December. And I certainly wanted to stress that we still needed a farm bill at that time in February. We absolutely needed a farm bill. But I also got to express the anguish that my family had been going through over the last winter as we were crunching the numbers for the 2025 crop. And a question that I asked during my testimony kind of got picked up in the press, and it was quoted over and over again. And that question was this: is farming really worth it? And I asked this question. I said, told the committee that just the prior week, my family had met and we had discussed our financial situation, and we had asked ourselves, is this really worth it? Is farming really worth it? And then I also went on to tell them that what really scared me about that was that we were just one farm family of thousands having that same conversation. And you know what? It was really hard to share that. It's a very personal thing. Now, that's my family's personal financial, you know, take on things. And that was tough to be that vulnerable and to share that much. But surprisingly enough, I was shocked that I got a tremendous number of texts and direct messages on social media, phone calls from friends. But many of the social media direct messages were from people I didn't know. And they were thanking me for my testimony and for being so brutally honest, and that their family was also facing the same questions. So it made me feel like it was worth it. And I was glad that I had shared such a raw emotional story. But during the time I was talking and my voice started to crack a little bit, of course, it's coming out of your mouth and your brain is telling you something else, or that's the way mine does sometimes. So I was telling myself to, you know, suck it up. Don't cry. Make your voice sound better. And at that same time, as I looked around at some of the senators, you know, and it's a busy day. They have a lot of other things going on. They have staff in the room. They're, you know, may have to get up and go vote and things like that. So it's a very fluid environment that you're testifying in, which can be very distracting. But as my voice cracked, many of the senators began to pay better attention. They might have put their phone down. Conversations that were happening on the side began to stop, and they began to listen. And the question that I ask, is farming really worth it, really isn't profound. It's not a remarkable question, but it was that day, and it has become a very important and remarkable question for many farm families. And so many of those families had to face and answer that question last season, and many families will continue to face it as we move forward and complete the 2025 crop year. So that moment taught me just how important it is for us to share our authentic stories, to tell people about rice farming and other types of farming in this country. And the rice industry is small. USA Rice says that there are only 5,500 American rice farmers, which that's tiny. The National Corn Growers Association represents 40,000. And there are over 300,000 farms in this country that raise soybeans. So not only is the rice industry extremely small, and we are so outnumbered by our farming peers that we should not even show up anywhere. But we do, and we have, and we must continue to do that. And we've shown up with the help of great trade associations like USA Rice, voices through and other associations in our states like the Arkansas Ag Council, Farm Bureau. So it's so important for all of us as farmers and farm families to tell our story. And anyone who understands that story and is attached to agriculture, your perspective on what's going on and what's happening is super important as well, and how it affects you, I think, is even a better story sometimes than what farmers have to say. You may not have a national platform, you may not have a podcast, you may not write a blog, but I bet most of you are on social media. You certainly have friends, and you have places that you go to. You know, you go to church, you may be in coffee shops or restaurants, heck, even on the sideline of your child's sporting event. You have opportunities that you can tell that story, and you have to start taking those opportunities. We can't continue to take for granted that our next door neighbor, just because they live in an ag community, understands agriculture. And we need more than just a few of us talking the talk. So I think it's super important for you to figure out how you can share your story. And most importantly, sharing that story in person. I found some shocking statistics that 70% of text communications are misunderstood. If you go back today and you think of how many conversations you had and how many of those were by text, I would guess most of them were by text or some sort of social media post or direct message. And that means if 70% of your communications are by text and 70% of those are misunderstood, we really have no idea what each other is talking about, really. And that's not good. That's probably one of the reasons why we have so much dissent and arguments and confusion in our country now, is because we're all just sending it by text, and it's really hard to understand and distinguish what someone is trying to say. So when you're sharing that story, try and do it in person as much as you can. Since COVID, most of us have disconnected from our civic responsibilities and participating in groups and things like that. I mean, it's pretty good statistics. Even younger people, there was a survey of folks 18 to 34 that 48% of them have no civic or political participation, none. So almost half of those 18 to 24. And if you look at 5,500 rice farmers and say we lose 30% of the voice of those 5,500 and we're competing against, you know, other voices out there, we've lost a large section of the people who can tell the story of rice farmers. I think it's really important for us to be together and face to face. There's so much discussion. You can learn so much. Just the fellowship that you gain when you're with fellow farmers and other members in the ag industry. And we develop a trust in one another, more so when you're interacting face to face than through text communications. And I think going forward, as we're telling our story and we are trying to move agriculture forward and make it more profitable in the long term, that we have to trust one another to move forward in that path. Farmers are certainly rooted in resilience. And when I think of a plant that is rooted and very resilient, I think about a pigweed. And here in Northeast Arkansas, we are ground zero for pigweeds and herbicide tolerant pigweeds for decades, not just recently. So they're very resilient. And when that plant comes up out of the ground and the cotyledon shows, if you have not gotten it sprayed, it's probably coming back, and it may come back even if it is sprayed. Then it gets up a little taller and you might have a chopping crew come through and they chop that weed, and that pigweed still comes back. It's rooted in resilience. So time after time of that plant getting knocked back down and coming back up, just like us, that we have to learn that when we get knocked down, we have to remain resilient, keep coming back stronger and stronger. So I just want to encourage you, as we move into harvest, to take care of yourself, take care of your mental health, take care of your people. It's a time when safety is at top of mind because there's so many moving parts. It's long days, it's long hours, and I hope that you and your crew remain safe. As you see those combines and tractors and grain carts moving on the road, please remember to give them the right of way. There's a lot going on in those cabs and cars that are shooting out and around, and very worried about passing them can be very distracting and cause somebody to get hurt. So give those farmers the right of way. They, I promise you, do not want to be on the highway any longer than absolutely possible. They are trying to get back to the field and get those headers in the grain and get their harvest out in the field. So I just want to encourage you all to stay safe, remain rooted, remain resilient, and I'll see you in the field. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review so you stay in the loop. Let's keep telling the story.